Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Zebra Laura and Rosenberg. Less Laura, though. She's not feeling too well, but we got John B.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up, y'all?
John B is
Thanks
back.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
I don't know if back outside is the right way to frame this, but man, let me know. Is this officially like a reemergence for you?
I mean, I ain't gone nowhere, bro. I'm like one of the
they
hardest working.
Don't know.
I'm like one of the
I
hardest working
guys.
I'm one of the hardest working R&B artists in the game, so yeah. I ain't going nowhere.
So you've been working this entire time, but it does seem like you're having your media presence. I saw you did Budden, you did Tamron Hall the other day.
Yeah.
You're definitely outside.
We're about
again.
To put a new record out. So right. Yeah, absolutely.
Promo
yeah.
run is official.
Official, yeah. We got the new single available right now, though. It's Waiting on You, featuring Tank.
Shout to Tank.
Big
Great
shout,
guy.
My brother. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man.
So
it's nice to be back, though.
So
for sure.
So if you didn't actually live John B. in the late 90s, right, which was a great time, and you're a young kid now just on the internet, you may see John B.'s name pop up. They may not know that, like, you're one of them official R&B dudes, though.
Thank you, man.
Do you feel any of that from the young generations where they kind of think you were like a novelty act of some sort?
I don't know, man. I mean, when they sample your music, it's just showing love. So
there you go.
I'll take it however I can.
However it goes.
And that's been cool. The sampling's been pretty cool, too. I mean, you've popped up on
it's
a bunch of
It's a new way of being remembered, you know what I'm saying, which is dope.
So during those years where you were not as active with dropping tons of music or where people didn't see you, tell us a little bit about the work you were doing. You're a prolific writer. What has the John B... We're going to go back to, obviously, the 90s, but tell us about the last 15 years or so. What has John B been doing most of the time?
Well, I've been independent, so it's been a different thing to push yourself and to not have a corporate structure behind you that's pushing you and promoting you and making sure everything is working. You know, it's a mechanical process that you really have to be a part of the inner workings of what's going on in your life, you know, in your career, so... I'm doing the writing, producing, engineering, you know what I'm saying? My wife does all the booking. So, you know, we keep it in-house. And
it's a family affair.
It's a family affair, you know. So, yeah, it's working for us.
You had, they don't know. Are you still down? Are those your two biggest hits?
I'm a don't talk guy myself.
Don't talk?
I'm a don't talk guy. But.
Yeah, and then I Do What You Say, Boo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go.
You know? Yeah, Someone to Love with Babyface.
Someone to Love.
That was the first one. That was the first Grammy-nominated one.
Yeah.
What did that mean as a young music guy? Because you come from a music family. Like, your mom had some music and dad, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
What did that mean to be able, like, when you started to go on your professional music journey to get embraced by, you know, Babyface and be able to work with these people?
It's wonderful, you know, when you get to work with your influences or people that you admire and collaborate in that way. Creatively, I was really advanced for my age. I was recording and engineering everything myself. So I came with fully, you know, pretty much finished records to the game. So it was easy for him to kind of like just dust off a little bit of the, you know what I mean? The edges.
Smooth out the rough edges,
as they say, right? And that's what he did for me on my first album. But he really laced me with the first two dope singles, which was a blessing to have him guest on my first song, obviously, you know. That was a big deal.
How old were you then?
I was 18.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the record actually came out when I was 19. So, I wasn't even legal for clubs yet.
And you were on his wife's label? Is that what it was?
I was on the Edmonds Record Group label. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay, got it. But so you were very involved with everybody.
But I was also signed through Sony Epic Records. So that was really
Yeah, amazing. I picture your records as just Sony records.
Yeah, Sony Epic. 550 right here on 57.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing to have that experience. You know, it really was. It blew my mind from the time I stepped on the first Learjet ever. I got on the Sony Learjet with Babyface, you know, to go sign my deal with Tommy Mottola. It's like,
as a kid,
it's pretty surreal, you know? And then from that to working with Tupac Shakur in the studio, and New Edition and After Seven and Tony Braxton and Luther Vandross and Michael Jackson. Jeez. You know what I'm saying?
You worked with Michael in studio?
No, he wasn't in the studio.
You wrote for him, though.
Well, what I did do was I was asked by him to remix his song, You Are Not Alone. And that was an amazing opportunity to just work with just his vocals and just create the track again.
Crazy.
Yeah, and then he called the studio. I was like, I love it.
You know? Oh, this is our favorite thing. You got the Michael Jackson phone call?
Oh, yeah.
We love the Michael Jackson phone call.
What voice did he use?
It was a nice...
He gave you the high tone.
He didn't give it too high. It was just not a lot of bass in there. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, we get different versions.
Yeah.
So how did that? Let's start with that. How did the You're Not Alone remix come about? Someone reaches out from Sony and is like, Michael.
By the same manager at the time.
Wow.
So Sandy Gallen and Jim Morey were his management, Gallen and Morey, and my management. So they actually got the call from Sony, and I believe it was. The head of 550, Polly Anthony, at the time, she asked me. She called me. She said, "Do you want to remix? You were not alone." And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I remember it was actually right after we did Jay Leno. Me and Babyface did Jay Leno. And
what a time in life!
I was absolutely like I was on cloud nine right there, and getting to sing with him was absolutely a dream come true. That song, first of all, just to record it, but then let alone be on Jay Leno, it was pretty official right there, right? But then that's right after that, I got the call from Polly, and she was like, "Do you want to remix You Are Not Alone?" I was like, "Absolutely." So we got in there, and I think it was actually Mike Dean helped out a little bit with that.
Shout out to Mike Dean. Big shout out. He played bass on there,
you know?
Wow, really?
We're always in the studio together back then, so we used to the same studio. So.
And then... Michael hears a version of it and calls you?
Yeah, so Michael heard it while I was in the studio working on other stuff, and he called me. He says, "I just want to let you know I really like how the direction it's taken." And I was just like, "Okay, thank you so much, man. It's such an honor to talk to you." You know, just chopped it up real quick.
That's pretty cool.
It was a blessing. Yeah.
I'm glad you jumped to the mic thing and brought up Pac too, because I wanted to get there because I read that. You had a great relationship with Pac before he passed.
Yes.
Which resulted in you getting the verse on Are You Still... No, how did that actually...
No, bro. That's completely wrong. Tupac and I knew each other from How Do You Want It, the video shoot.
Right.
And 2 weeks later, he called me up and he said, "Come down to the studio, Can-Am Studios." So I came down to the studios and we wrote and recorded the song Are You Still Down right there. We wrote it together in the studio with the paper.
Wait, How Do You Want It? You were just in the video?
No, I wasn't. I just came down.
You were
just
there?
Just chill. Yeah, just with Casey and JoJo.
You were just hanging with them?
I was just hanging with them, yeah.
Yo, what a time in life, bro.
That video set was things happening.
Yo.
So, I don't want people to think I worked with his voice after or something like that.
Yeah,
no,
this was
the man in the studio for real with me. You know what I mean? So...
complicated though.
He was producing me and telling me how to sing the song. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Saying, "Nah, sing it like this, John. You know, girl, it's all right, baby." And I'm like, "Girl, it's all right." Yeah, like that, man. Okay. Like, put that thing on it. You know what I'm saying?
But it's confusing for people, I think, because then they put out an Are You Still Down Tupac album later, correct?
That's his mother that did that because that was the last song that he recorded and he never played.
That's the complication, right? Because that song's called Are You Still Down, but you made it with him in real life.
Yeah, it was wild. It was a send-off, bro. It was a send-off. You know, with the last thing we said to each other was, he was like... He said, "This is my crossover joint, man. And this your song for the hood, bro." And I was like, "What? You serious? Oh, this is about to
be..." Oh, so he saw it for you as an opportunity and for him as a different opportunity.
Absolutely. He was like, "This is how we're going to communicate right here. This is the new communication. You know what I'm saying? Let's just collaborate, bro. Let's get it." And he was going to, but let's just... I'm leaving it there. I might start tearing up in here, man. You know, it still touches me like that because it was so short, man.
And it's a weird, I always find it to be an interesting experience when people lose someone, but they weren't best friends, but they were close in that moment.
But they
moment.
Were connected, though.
Right, and well, you, and specifically around their death, like you right. were, at that moment, y'all were homies.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of camaraderie in that studio that night, you know? And even at the video shoot, like, I played them some tracks, and Casey and JoJo and Johnny J were there, the producer of Are You Still Down, the track, at least. And I was playing my tracks, and Pac started vibing to my tracks and freestyling right in front of me. And I'm just like, oh, I was singing along, kind of like just vibing. And Casey and JoJo are on the side co-signing, like, oh, you got one there. You better get in the studio and record that, man. You know? So,
and you're still, you're how old at this time?
I'm, shoot, that was 95, so I'm 20, I think 21, maybe.
Crazy. Wow. And Tupac's a kid too, though. Basically only a couple years older.
He was 24? 26, I think. 27.
No, he died at 25.
That was 2 weeks. 25,
yeah. So he's 25.
25, yeah.
No, we're both kids.
So when you, as your journey, right? Like all of that stuff you just told us, Michael Jackson, Babyface. Yeah, Tupac, like yeah. The journey's beautiful, right?
Yeah, thank you, man.
You know, for a young person today who, you know, the music industry is very different now. Right, it's harder to see success that you know, but people have like streaming.
It's easier to get in.
You think it's harder to see
for people to see success? Really?
Well,
I mean TikTokers are getting like success, TikTokers are getting famous overnight, and getting YouTubers are getting paid millions of dollars a month. I mean, what do you mean?
Like, well, no, meaning like you had like real, you were like a household name. Yeah. There's a lot of people who are successful in your phone.
Right. Right. Oh, I see you what you're saying.
Well, you
I see
bring them out to a
that
show.
Real establishment.
Sustained.
Well, I think that know. Comes with time. That go. Comes with time. You right. know what I'm saying? It really does. It comes with time, and it comes with consistency of being sort of a fixture in people's life in a certain okay. way. Consistently. Don't just write a song that makes me believe you that you want to be in love and then put the song out. It's like, oh, I cheat on you and I get this right. done and blah, blah, blah. And I'm, you know, so it's almost like you can't contradict yourself.
Right.
Because once you do that, they'll move on to the next person who's going to tell the truth. You know, yeah, tell the truth, man. That's all I say. Tell the truth. And that's what I try to do with my music, man. You know, I don't try. That's what I do with my music. I tell the truth.
Did you in your journey, you know, when you get the high highs and sustain that, talk about sustaining when things ain't the same anymore and you have to be like a work, like you said, you're touring and you're still out here and it's a business and you're working like it's actually.
Yeah, you know, the travel.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Is the main part, I think, that is the real effort that you make to get to where you're going. You know what I'm saying? Literally, get in the car, go to the airport, check in, get on the plane, get to where you're going, do the show, do the same thing again the next day. And it, you know, it is tiring, but you get this rhythm for it. And it's like, if you're willing to do the work, it's going to result in good results. It's going to be, people are going to see you, you know? And it's a trip that people, you know, still come out to the shows and they're sold out and they're singing the songs and it's like 30 years later I'm sitting here. I'm surprised, but there's a part of me that's sort of like, no, it's because you still care. You know, it's because you're out there singing your heart out, you know, for them. Like literally, like, T, you ain't got no more voice and you got to move on to the next and do it again.
But that almost goes back to Ebro's point of like, you're an actual musician. You didn't do this. You didn't do this to have a hot moment in the 90s. You did it to go, I'm going to be this. I'm going to go on this journey.
It's the craft of making music. You know what I'm saying? It's the craft of songwriting. It's the act of singing in front of people. Well, for people, really. Because that's what I do. I sing for people. And once you sort of become this you know, conduit for the energy to pass through you, to go through you, flow through you, it's really about a relationship I have with my fans, man. It's not just about being the star in front of the fans. You know, I think that if, you know, people tune into that, there's a relationship going on here. You know, that it's like you definitely have like a more, I think, a connection with your listeners, you know? And I like to believe
community.
I do, you know? You build a community around you. Absolutely. Believers that'll support you on your next project when it comes out. Even if it's not promoted so well or whatever, you know, doesn't get it, whatever. So, yeah, it's beautiful to have people show up, man, you know, for real for me.
Have you felt a, it feels like there's been a bit of a R&B resurgence recently, both of current music and with the Lovers and Friends shows, all these different Usher at halftime. It just feels are you feeling that momentum
absolutely,
as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm loving it. I mean, there's so much great talent out, both, you know, new talent that's, I'm just hearing first albums or second albums. I'm loving them from these new artists. And at the same time, these guys were still putting it down, you know, from the 90s, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, everybody's doing their thing. There's a lot of music out there that's inspiring to me. It makes me hunt for new sounds and new ways of, you know what I mean, cooking up. So, yeah.
Well, do your young ones know? Do your kids know what dad is out here?
Yeah, they're out here with me right now.
They see
the hoofla.
Yeah. That's tight.
We're knee deep in it, baby.
You know? And do you, have they, you know, like your parents did for you, I'm sure there was some, you know, mom wanting you to get on the piano and do your lessons and all of that.
She tried that. My mom is actually, she used to be a piano teacher for many years, but she couldn't get me to read the music she thought I was reading and I was just memorizing it and playing it by ear. She's like, "Wait, we'll go play that part." I'm like, "I don't know that part."
So some of the piano playing came naturally for you?
It was all, you know, sort of like intuitive. I taught myself and it came naturally, yeah.
Can you read music now?
No, I can't read music, but I can play. I can play the hell out of them keys, baby.
And what about your young ones? Same thing for them?
They're musical. They sing a lot, you know. None of them play any instruments, but my daughter actually picked up the guitar and really started learning chords and everything. So that's kind of cool. That's her beginning. She wants to take up the bass too. So.
But No pressure.
Yeah, do it at your pace, especially when your father does it for, you know, I don't want him to feel the extra pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was my joint for another joint of yours that I loved around 2000, Lifting Me Up.
Oh man,
was that High Tech?
You know what's so crazy? That song, I never officially came out. It just got leaked, man. Thanks for saying that, bro.
It was a bootleg.
I know, right? But thanks for, man. I need to put that out. And every time I see High Tech, I'm like, "What's up with Lifting Me Up, man?"
Oh yeah, so it was High Tech.
Yes,
I was
High Tech.
Because
it's the blast, right? It's the blast.
That's why I was probably playing. So I was like, "Oh, High Tech R&B."
Because it's the blast beat.
It is the blast beat. It has the same bass line.
Yeah. Oh man.
It has another like riff.
I'm gonna put it out.
We're gonna do it. Lifting Me Up was a joy.
But you know who I'm so hyped that I worked with recently, y'all? Premier.
Whoa.
I got a joint with Premier. Primo.
On
Premier,
this upcoming
y'all.
Album.
Like, nah, it's hopefully it's on his next project.
Okay. I'm guessing this is a Brady Watt connect.
It is a Brady Watt connect.
Because I saw Brady produced on your single.
Big up Brady Watt for the new single. Yeah, he produced the track Waiting on You for me. And he sent me the track and I wrote the song in like one day, completely like one train of thought, like from beginning to end, you know, just a moment and caught it instead of it being like a drawn out process for like 2 weeks or something like that. It was it was the only song on the album that was like that.
And then he connected you with Primo?
And then after that, yeah, we hooked up with Primo. I came to the Primo's studio and I started playing the keyboard and he came and he said, "What's that?" And I was just like, "I'm just playing some shit." He's like, "Record that right now." And so Brady got on the bass and I started playing. He's, you know, kept the chords progression out of the ad going, you know, and he just like sampled it. Man, he sent me what he sampled of my keys with Brady's bass, with the drums, with the Primo drums.
Yeah.
And then he did the scratching on it, bro.
Were you always a big fan,
so I'm geeking off.
Were you always a big hip hop head too?
Absolutely. I was a big Gangstar fan, you know what I'm saying? And everything Guru did, like the Jasmine Taz albums as well, you know, but anything Primo did, you know, I was on it. So
it's so funny.
Lil Dap and all that, man.
The group homies,
yeah.
It's so funny that it's like surprising for me to hear that because I'm like, well, you're an R&B singer.
Oh, no, that, trust me. Like,
of course, you're into all of it.
You wouldn't be the first one to tell me. I mean, but like, you know, I tried to make my album show that love for hip hop. You know, I wanted to work with AZ, you know what I'm saying? And not just the mainstream guys, but, you know, some of the guys that were dope too, just as dope, but didn't really, you know,
cross over.
They weren't
like
getting
that,
there. Yeah, they ain't crossed over yet. So Nas, of course, you know. I mean, even like in the dancehall areas. Well, I went out to Jamaica and worked with Beanie Man, and that was a really culturally, that was the most amazing trip I've ever been.
Why
on
is that?
Because it was just such an impression on me. You know, I'm such a Bob Marley fan as well. You know, and you know, getting to see his home in Kingston and go to his home and, you know, see the rooms that, you know, he lived in and all that. It was, I took some of that energy with me, you know what I mean? And but in terms of working with Beanie, you know, we went to Studio One, a very famous studio in Kingston, Jamaica, and recorded a remix for the song Pride and Joy I had out at the time. And then we worked again together on 2004 on a song called Every Time, and we put that out as a single and everything. So that was, it's a nice little different kind of vibe for me.
You and the wife gonna take in the Bob movie? Drops this week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's out now. Yeah,
it's out right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's out.
Yes, we are. You know that. We've got to represent.
Listen, man, it's just great to meet you. It's great to see you in such great a positive space.
Thank you so much.
The fact that there's music, that you're continuing to drop, and it's a great time, as Rosenberg pointed out, with R&B, but also with just where streaming is at and your ability to get direct to your fans too.
Hey, man, is it?
Has that been, it's, that experience has probably been really great.
That's incredible. And I love the fact that that's what is new about this age, is the transparency that we have with our fans, you know what I mean? The communication we have with our fans. So, yeah, if you're not too shy, you know, to get on the gram and just be like, holler back real quick, it's a beautiful thing, you know, to do. And it's still new to me, you know, I still get used to it, the whole TikToking thing and everything like that, but it's fun. I mean, actually, that's something my 16-year-old daughter has put me up on game with. You know what I mean? She's like, nah, Dad, this is how you do that.
Dad, I'll run your TikTok account.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to post like that. People don't say that.
No. It's a trip, though, man. Yeah, it's a different lot of different platforms to rock with, and a lot of different options for people. So I feel like people should feel very inspired to believe in themselves right now. Just believe in what you're doing, because there's a lot of, you know, ways now. You know what I'm saying? That's not just one way, you know what I mean? Or a couple ways. There's a lot of ways. So, yeah. Keep shooting your shot.
John B.
Give it up,
man. Album soon.
Yo, let's play that new single, man. Run
hey,
that.
Man, thank you,
intro,
bro.
Intro to single, bro.
Oh, man, this is my brand new single featuring my brother from another, the legendary R&B guy himself, Tank, is on here with me. Brady Watt on the track. Big up yourselves, you guys. Thanks so much
thank
for having
you,
me,
bro.
Y'all.
Of course, of course.
Man, appreciate you, so man. Much,
thank
brother.
You.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.